Hello, Burlington, and welcome to Net Zero Energy. I'm Jennifer Green, Director of Sustainability for the City of Burlington, where our goal is to reduce and eventually eliminate fossil fuel usage. Today, we have George Martin with us. George is the president of Ellen Consulting and an expert in geothermal. If you want to learn more about geothermal, stuff that's not covered in this podcast, check out the link in the description of this episode. George Martin, it's so great to have you on the Net Zero Energy podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So, George, before we got started, we were talking a little bit about your professional background. So you are the president of Ellen Consulting. You started as an intern when you were at UVM, and now, fast forward, you're president. So you're running a company.
Yeah, so it was a pretty cool experience. Looked up engineering, I think, in the phone book when I was a sophomore at UVM, and came across Ellen Consulting. Wayne and Paul were the previous owners, and kind of rolled into the office. And I think we were actually doing like a Wing Davis Wilkes renovation at UVM, so I thought it was pretty cool because I was going to UVM. So I started designing there and got a job out of college. And again, fast forward 20 years or so here, and here we are.
And here you are, geothermal.
Geothermal.
So, such a hot topic right now. You know, for those that don't know, people that are listening, we did a webinar with you in conjunction with the 2030 District a couple weeks ago, and that's available, of course, on BED's website. Given the interest in the webinar and geothermal in general, we thought we would carry on the conversation into the podcast. Can you give us the lowdown on what geothermal is?
So, there's a couple different types of geothermal. Open-loop geothermal is where you would drill a well, you'd pump your well water through a heat exchanger, or you're building hydronic loop, and then inject it back into the ground. So in the open loop system, you're using the actual aquifer as your heat exchange with your building. In general, that's a really great system if you have a lot of water, which we do in Burlington, for big buildings because you don't need as many wells to meet your heat exchange demand. The other system is closed loop. Closed loop is actually where you don't have any contact with the aquifer. You basically drill a well. You route piping down that well, or borehole as we call it, and back up, and you're actually using that earth as your heat exchanger. So you're using the water that's flowing through that pipe to exchange energy with the 50-degree kind of ground temperature that's pretty consistent below 40, 60 feet.
So tell us what you're working on now. It sounds like bigger projects. I'm thinking of the high school. That's the first thing that comes to mind. I know, of course, BED helped fund some of the test drilling. Based on the test drilling and your relationship with the project, tell us what you can.
That was a kind of exciting project. We actually did a test well with BD's assistance way back when, before we really got into the design of the project. I just wanted to see if we were, like we said, with the open loop, if we had water there, then it's a very good way, economical way to get a geothermal system to support that big building. I mean, it's 260,000 square feet. So as a taxpayer myself, I'm thinking about the taxpayers there. Hey, could we find a way to make this economical and electrify the building? It looks like we have a pretty feasible system here. It's just now a matter of kind of developing it further and making sure we get the flows and pressures we need. The exciting thing about that and geothermal in general is obviously it's an electrified system, so we can offset it with solar, which again, I think the school is looking to do that, whether it's owned by this town or the city or third party. We would do on-site generation, and again, you can always increase that to fully net zero out the school.
Your work mostly focuses on commercial. Can you talk about residential applications though?
Yeah, sure. I mean, so we in general, our industry, our company doesn't do a lot of smaller residential. We have done residential in the past. And, in new builds, geothermal, you're typically talking about a couple of wells. So, a couple of 500-foot deep wells. You can get a well driller, go on site and drill those. And they basically route a couple of pipes right to your building, your basement. And then a mechanical contractor would pick that up and, provide probably most likely go to a heat pump, water-to-air heat pump, which is similar to like a furnace, basically the same size. And that piece of equipment can heat and cool through air. And a lot of times when we talk about electrification, the first thing we do is say, hey, what are we going to do to reduce this building envelope, right? Air sealing, insulation. You don't want to spend a bunch of money on an expensive, source like geothermal and even just electrified systems, even if it's an air-to-air heat pump system. if you have a bad envelope. Usually it's more cost effective to invest in that envelope, reduce your overall demand. And like I said in the past, a lot of times when we see people invest in their envelope, you actually can maybe even use that those existing terminal hot water units to heat at that lower temperature because you reduce your overall heating demand on the building.
So we talked about the high school. What else is happening in Burlington that you want to share with folks?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at City Hall, Fletcher Free Library, Echo, all geothermal. Some have already had test wells drilled. Most people know about Hula, which we did a couple years back now. Howard Center, which is looking at right on Flynn and Pine, looking at a geothermal system, which BD helped with a test well there.
It's sort of novel to think about Burlington having this resource that is unseen to many of us, and that's its aquifer and the fact that we've got a lot of water available underground.
You know, obviously we've drilled and have not found water, but we have a pretty good idea of where the water is. And like I said, Hula, 160,000 square foot facility, has five or six wells, and they are able to heat and cool with redundancy, which means, you know, if one fails, you can still meet your demand. Champlain College, I think, has nine buildings now off their central open loop system, and I think it's something like 260,000 square feet or something like that. So geothermal technology is great, and open loop's great, closed loop's great, but the fact that we are confident about the water here, it's a unique scenario because we know we can actually implement the technology at a low cost.
So I'm curious, is there anything that we need to be aware of that's happening underground? Are there any environmental consequences that we haven't shown the light on yet?
There's no consequence. The only consequence and from an open loop geothermal side is temperature. But it's so minimal because of the amount of water that's flowing. There's just no real temperature change. I think we did an analysis on the Moran plant, I think, at one time. We were actually going to take water from the city water supply, kind of take it out, inject it back in, and it was like 0.001 degree difference.
It sounds like Burlington is well situated for geo. It helps us on our path to net zero energy. But I'm sure there are negative consequences or things that we need to consider regarding geothermal, including where it doesn't work. Are there places where it's not appropriate, George?
Yeah, I mean, I think the places that are not appropriate are sites that don't have a lot of area to install the actual boreholes. And the only other thing would be cost. Like, that's not appropriate. It's not like an environmental impact, but there's no reason to spend, you know, five times as much on a system if you're never going to see a payback. Again, it's a case-by-case basis. It's definitely something that just should be looked at.
Yeah, well, it's really exciting that it's part of our sort of portfolio of tools to get us closer to net zero energy.
You know, in 2022, I think, at the end of 2022, something called the Inflation Reduction Act, which basically extended and or made better some of the credits for geothermal. Essentially, before that, it was getting phased down, and it was about 26%. It went from 30% to 26% for residential. The Inflation Reduction Act changed that and said 30% for residential, 30% for commercial, and 30% for municipalities and tax-exempt entities, which is big. So this means that, you know, your local municipalities can take advantage of these credits, not through tax, but through a direct elective pay option, which is basically a check to them, and also like nonprofits, for example. So that was exciting for me because that kind of we have a lot of nonprofits and tax-exempt entities, and it's like, okay, now there's an incentive for them to actually go forward with geothermal. So that's big, and that's why we're seeing a big resurgence in geothermal. And then there's also some like adders, I guess you could say, if you design around like all domestic content, which is basically made in America and steel, all steel made in America, there's some stringent rules there, but you get an extra 10%. And when I was talking about earlier about brownfield sites, that's actually an extra 10%. Depending on your site, you can end up, you know, getting almost 50% plus to your system off, which is with the cost of mechanical these days is pretty awesome. And that applies to more than just the system itself. There's the electrical, the design. I'm not an accountant. I'm not an expert on all this. I just know enough probably to be dangerous, but you would want to talk to your accountant to understand when you're looking at the feasibility of geothermal to see where you can take advantage of these, because it's tax credits. There's also some depreciation stuff. There's a ton out there, which is great. And then obviously that coupled with the BED incentives, it's pretty exciting. There's, you know, it really does make it feasible. And you can see that why geothermal, there is a big push for geothermal. I'm excited because, you know, we've been trying to push this all along, and finally everyone's caught up to us, and everyone's on the same page to make geothermal, you know, viable as much as we can throughout, you know, throughout the state.
Well, suddenly you're very popular. You've gone from webinar speaker to podcast guest. Who knows what the future holds for you, George?
I know. We were just talking about how no one ever liked to see mechanical or cared about anything about mechanical or indoor air quality, and now all of a sudden we're the belle of the ball here.
Well, we're so grateful that you are in Burlington, and we're so grateful that you spent your time with us today, George. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you again for listening to Net Zero Energy. If you have any questions about this podcast or what BED offers regarding incentives, rebates, or technological support, look for us at burlingtonelectric.com or call us at 802-865-7300. You can also follow us on Facebook. We're always here to help and look forward to engaging with you on our mutual path to net zero energy.